Has anything in the world that's happened been so great as what happened, what that song was referring to? The song says, Lord Jesus came down from his throne on high. And we know the story so well. Lived upon this earth for maybe about 30 years. Died on the cross. Went to the grave, rose again. All part of God's plan, that plan of salvation. And the most awesome thing about it is that each and every one of us here today have an opportunity to be a part of that. We all have an opportunity, if we will make the right choice, to be part of the greatest thing that has ever taken place in this world. And that's, it's almost more than the mind can take in. There have been many great things that have taken place in this world. Many inventions, and we have taken leaps and bounds from where we were 300 and 400 years ago, and great marvelous things have happened. But nothing compares to Jesus coming down, living his life here, setting an example, going to the cross, dying for each and every one of us, rising again, going back to his Father, and then inviting us to come as well. And we have an opportunity to be part of that. Thank the Lord for that. If you allow me, with the Lord's help, I'd like to share a little thought with you this morning. I'll write my thought on the board. Written on the board, the words, "Behold my hands." And I guess you could say this comes from maybe two accounts in the New Testament. But the account that I'm thinking of, and I'd like to turn there to a scripture in Luke. Luke chapter 24, and we'll read just a few verses here, starting with verse 36. This is the account where the disciples had met together, and Jesus appeared to them. And starting at verse 36, "And as they," speaking of the disciples, "and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts?" And my Bible says maybe another word for thoughts was doubts. So maybe we could say, why do thoughts, or why do doubts arise in your heart? And he says, "Behold my hands and feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." So if we could just look a little bit into the setting of what was taking place. The disciples are there, congregated together, maybe talking amongst themselves. And the scripture says that Jesus stood in the midst of them. He appeared kind of out of nowhere. And I think, me personally, I would feel kind of like they felt. I would be a little scared. I'd be a little terrified if something or someone just appeared for no rhyme or reason. And he saw their fear. He saw them trembling. He saw they were afraid. And he spoke to them as he had done in previous other times when he saw they were afraid. Why are you troubled? But then he goes on to try to convince them that I am who I say I am. They thought maybe they were seeing a spirit. And what does he say? He says, "Behold my hands. Feel them. Look at them." And no doubt, we know in the other account when he told Thomas, "Look at the nail prints in my hands." So no doubt here he's saying, "I am who I say I am. I am the Jesus that you knew, that just a few days ago was walking around with you. Behold my hands. Look at my hands. I'd like to look into that phrase a little bit. Have you ever stopped to think of what can be told of a person by their hands? The ability to look at a pair of hands, I feel like I have done that in the past. It's not maybe the first thing that you look at when you're trying to read a person or figure them out. Maybe you don't, that's not the first thing you look at. But if you have an opportunity to see someone's hands, I feel like, this is my personal feeling, that much could be told in a person's hands. Two quick examples. Uncle Bobby, I hope you don't mind me speaking about you a little bit. He doesn't know anything about this. I've never said this to anyone. I remember as a very young child, very, very young, I remember sitting maybe by him or not far from him and watching my Uncle Bobby play his guitar. And I remember looking at his fingers as he played that guitar. And those fingers were stained black, maybe blue. And me, in my young age, not having a good grasp on things, I thought at the time that those stains on his fingers came from going up and down the fret of that guitar. And I thought in my mind, I thought, man, he must play this guitar all the time to have that finish come off that fret and stain those fingers. Well, only later did I realize, as I got older and I looked back at that, and I thought, you know what? That wasn't from playing the guitar. And I started to put two and two together. He was a printer. That was his trade all his life. And he worked with ink and printing presses and ink on paper and handling those things. And once I began to realize that, I started paying attention. And I thought, you know, that says a little bit about who he was and what he did. I was looking at his hands, and I was able to get a glimpse or tell a little bit about him. Now, that's just because I knew him personally. Maybe not everyone would have that same experience, but I was able to see and know a little bit about him from looking at those fingers. The other little example I was thinking about, again, I was very, very, very young. I mean, very young, and I was still young enough where my mom would let me lay down on the bench during service and take a nap. That's how young I was. But my mind goes back to one service in particular that my dad was here, my father was here. And I remember laying down on that bench. The preaching was going on, but I was so young, my mind wasn't there, of course. But I remember taking my dad's hand and just putting it on my face. And it wasn't a pleasant feeling. And what I mean by that is that hand was hard, and it was calloused, and it was dried up, and it had cracks, and it was gnarled up. And not that it was just a pleasant, soothed feeling on my face. And I remember as a little child just holding it there and thinking, wow, this pair of hands. And again, I put two and two together. And as I grew up, I always had that picture in my mind of those hands. And that pair of hands. And my dad was someone that always had those dried, hard, cracked, bleeding hands. He had worked hard all his life, worked those blue-collar jobs. But that impressed me so much. And I grew up thinking that that's the kind of hands I want. You see, they told a story. He left an impression upon me. I knew personally how hard he had worked and how much he committed to hard work and how he didn't let things get in his way once he put the mind to something. And his hands reflected that. His hands told that story. And so much through my childhood years. It was something that I wanted. It was something proud to me. I wanted hard, gnarly, cracked up hands. And in fact, again, I was young. I remember kind of in the midst of all that, we went to a get together somewhere, and there was an older fella from La Ronger right here in the community, older to my, at that age, he looked really old to me. He was a dairy farmer. And I remember just out of respect, I walked up and I went to shake his hand. And he grabbed my hand and he made a comment that crushed me. He said, "Boy, those are some soft hands." And my heart sank. My heart just sank. But that's understandable because the story wasn't there yet. I hadn't lived enough life and I hadn't had the experiences to develop the hands that told a story. This morning, Jesus said, "Behold my hands." Now I have, and again, he was trying to convey, he was trying to let the disciples know and to show them, "I am who I say I am. Look at my hands. Do you see the nail prints in my hands?" But I think it was just more than Jesus saying, "Look, here's my hands. This is the proof I was on the cross." I think it goes deeper than just nail prints in his hands. I think as those disciples stood there and looked at the hands of Jesus, not only did they see nail prints, but I can't help but think that they saw a story. There was a story there. This was a reflection of who Jesus was and what he did upon this earth. So a little bit more into that, but if we think about that in terms of the hands of Jesus have a story written on them, I'd like to look at just a few examples. It's a few scriptures, but if y'all will bear with me, let's just look at a few examples of what was accomplished by the hands of Jesus. Let's look at Mark chapter 1, and we'll try to get through these. Mark 1, verse 40, just a couple verses here. This is a story, and all these are very familiar stories and accounts, but let's just read a few of them. Mark 1 and 40. "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, and he put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, thou be clean." Such a simple little account and simple happening. But as I like to do so often, look into the story and think about the story. And I think about this account. It says this leper. I know you know the history of the leper and how they were treated and how they were looked at and how they were looked down at. You're looking at a person that has been shunned, is an outcast. Is that has to walk around with rotting flesh on their body, and that has to maybe live separately with other lepers. They aren't allowed to mix and to mingle with the regular crowd. So with all that being said, we're talking about somebody that is outcast. That if they do come out, they have to wait till no one else is around. They're lonely. They're an outcast. They're alone. No one wants to be around them. But here comes Jesus. And I think of this, if we can bring this to the time of today, how many people and family and friends and just children and have been shunned and have been thrown to the side or an outcast and aren't given a second thought. But in this
situation, Jesus comes along and this leper looks up and sees Jesus. You know, if that would have been anybody else would have took off running. I can't be in the presence of somebody with rotten flesh hanging off their bones. They're below me. I cannot be with you. But did Jesus take off running? No, it says he reached out his hand and he touched the leper. I labeled this little couple verses, hands of healing. The hands of Jesus. Jesus said, "Behold my hands." You think the disciples looked at those hands and remembered the accounts of Jesus healing individuals? We have another one of healing, Mark 8. Let's look at Mark 8, verse 22. Mark 8, 22. Talking about Jesus healing a blind man, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town and put his hands upon him. He asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, "I see men as trees walking." After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. A blind man not able to see. We don't have an account here of how long he was blind, but a blind man not able to see. Again, not the same as everyone else, having to live life differently. Jesus comes walking by, and this blind man in his desperate situation reaches out. And what does Jesus do first of all? He takes him by the hand. Can you imagine what that would be like? To be able to be in a place, in any place, in any part of your life, to be in a desperation and just have the ability and have the capability to just reach out and say, "Lord, take my hand." And then he's going to reach out and with hand the hand of Jesus, to reach out and to be able to take your hand. No matter what situation you're going through, no matter where you find yourself out in life, no matter how tough it is, that the hand of Jesus, as much help as there is in the world today, no doubt he had people helping him, bringing him a little food, putting some coins in his little coin jar. But he needed something more than that. He needed Jesus. And Jesus extended his hand. Let's look at Luke 7. Luke chapter 7. Luke 7, verse 12. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, "Weep not." And he came, and he touched the bier, the casket or coffin, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." Here we have an account where the Lord didn't even have to physically touch the person. He touched the things around the person. I'm just trying to bring out the miraculous things that the hands of the Lord can do. And the things that he did. We have accounts all through the New Testament of the miracles. And when there's not enough time to go through each and every account, but you know the stories. I encourage you to look at these accounts, look into the depths of these accounts, and really give thought about what Jesus was actually, what he was actually doing. Let's look at a couple more. We're not going to read all everything that I had written down here, but let's look at a couple more. John chapter 10, starting at verse 27.
My sheep hear my voice. He's talking about his sheep. He's talking about his people. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So we read some accounts of Jesus healing the leper, the blind, the dead. But now here's something a little bit different. He's saying, I have a people. I have sheep, and I care about them. And I want to offer a place of protection, a safe haven. It says, neither shall any man, no one or anything is able to come up against my people and have the ability to remove them out of my hand, out of protection. We're going to have things come against us, but the Lord has promised us that he wants to offer us a place of refuge, a place of protection. If we are willing to dwell there, no man shall pluck you out of my hand. To me, that is so encouraging. When I am in this world and I look at everything going around and everything becomes so much bigger than I am and so much louder than I am, and sometimes I feel like influences are too strong and it's just become such a part of me and I can't help it because I'm here. If I will remember that as one of Jesus' sheep, as one of his children, that I have somewhere that I can dwell. I have somewhere that I can hide, that I can rest in. And he says here, in the palm of his hand. He said, I know my sheep. I know them by name. I'm not sure if it says it in this account. But you can rest here. What did Jesus say? Behold my hands. These are the hands you can rest in. Let's read one more account. Matthew 19. I wrote down here a hands of acceptance. Matthew 19, verse 13. Then were they brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands upon them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. I look into this story. I guess I'm thinking back. I see the picture that I used to see in the little Bible story book. And it showed Jesus sitting on a rock. And you can kind of see a few of the disciples behind him. And there was this little group of children trying to get to Jesus. And they had a few disciples over there kind of holding them back a little bit. And I think as a child, how would that be? To hear about Jesus. You've heard talk about Jesus. And you got one thing in mind, and that's to get to him. And finally, maybe after several days' journey, maybe after some hardships and being hungry, you finally get to see him. You catch a glimpse of him, and you're this close. But no, they have men standing in the way, holding you back, saying, no, he's too busy, he's too tired. He doesn't have time for this right now. And how the feeling that I think would come over you. But through all the noise and through all the racket, to be able to look through the crowd or through those men holding you back and your eyes locking in with the eyes of Jesus and knowing by locking onto his eyes that that's a signal saying, come on up here. Come on up here. Don't let all this hold you back. Telling his disciples, suffer the little children to come unto me. I have all the time in the world.
There is nothing more precious, I feel, than the opportunity and the capability to be able to go to Jesus, to be able to get there and to see Him look at you and give you a personal invitation. It says, come on over here. And I remember seeing another picture, and it showed those little children sitting on His lap with His arm draped around them. I think, how wonderful that must be. The healings are wonderful. No discredit to them. The miracles are wonderful. But to be able to sit there and feel Jesus' hand on your shoulder, or to be able to reach out your hand and feel Jesus take your hand. So again, I wonder, He looked at His disciples and He said, behold My hands. You know, these are stories. These are beautiful stories. These are beautiful accounts. But I think they're more than stories. They're more than just words on paper. They're more than just stories that were passed down to us for us to read. And that's what we're supposed to do. But I think it's accounts that show us, yes, what the Lord did, but not only what He did, but what He is still capable of doing. And I can't help but think that's what He was trying to get over to the disciples. Yes, I am Jesus. Look at My hands. I am the one who did all these things. But I still have the capability to do these things. There are stories here. There are stories in these hands. What would you see if Jesus looked at you and said, behold My hands? What would you see? Would you just see two hands with holes in them? Or would you see the account of how He showed love and mercy to individuals? You see, they tried to put an end to those hands. What did He tell Thomas? Thomas didn't believe. Thomas said, I won't believe till I see the nail prints in the hands. And that is so much a part of this story, in this phrase. And I think, you know, they tried to put it into the hands, but not only the hands. If we say a hand tells a story, they tried to put an end to all the accounts and all the acts of love and mercy. But as the song says that we sang right before preaching, He came down, He lived here, He was crucified, but He went back to heaven. Why? That these kind of things could live on. That these hands could still continue to do what they did then. See, we read these as stories. We read these as things in the past. But Jesus, He rose again and is alive and well. And these hands still have the capability that they had then. So again, I ask you, what do you see in the hands of Jesus? Do you see? Am I correct in saying that these hands really are just an extension of who He is? He said He was here doing the Lord's work. How do we do our work? With our hands and our feet. I believe that these hands, the Lord's hands, and all these acts were just an extension of who He was. Doing the Lord's work. I'm here to tell you today, the Lord still wants to do a work. In this day and time, to each and every one of us,
All these accounts that we read, these types of things are still available to us. The healings by the hand of Jesus. The comfort that can be given by the hand of Jesus. When he says, "Let the little children come unto me," and he drapes his arm in his hand, he puts his hand on your shoulder. That is still available to us today by the hand of Jesus. You remember the account when Peter was sinking? Peter walked on the water and he looked away. And Peter's fault for looking away. But how many times do we feel that we are just overcome? That we are fixing to go under? And I think of that account. It said Jesus stretched forth his hand to grab Peter's hand so he could pull Peter back up. Dear ones, these stories, they're not just accounts to read and then put on a shelf somewhere and forget about them, but they're real. They were real then, and Jesus is just as real now as he would when these things took place. He said, "Behold my hands." You know, I remember looking at my dad's hands. And again, seeing the calluses and the bumps and the bruises on them. I don't mean to be sarcastic from the pulpit, but I remember when my dad would get a cut or a nick. And I thought it was cool when I saw a little blood on his hands. You know why? Because he ignored it and he kept going. And before long, you know, there would be dirt all up in it. But it didn't faze him. It didn't bother him. And I look at that and I thought, wow, he left. That's one thing that my dad left to me was hard work and hard work ethic and all those things, the grit and the grind and just do it no matter what. But how much more so is it the stories that are in the hands of Jesus? The things that they accomplished, the love that was shown through his hands, the mercy that was shown through his hands. Are we in a place in our lives that if the Lord said, "Look, behold my hands," can we see? Can we see past the hole in the hands? Can we see through that? Are we in a place where we can be influenced? Where we can be affected? Lord, help us to keep ourselves in a place where I can be touched by the hand of Jesus. He wants to reach out. He wants to grab. He wants to pull you out. He wants to hold you here. He's not going to force himself upon you. He's going to reach forth his hand. It's up to me if I take hold of it or not. His hand's available. He's made himself available. It's my burden today that we really pay attention to what Jesus wants to do for each and every one of us. That we really get a hold of the love and the mercy that's been made available to us through his hands. I know maybe we read into it maybe a little bit more than what was intended in this phase of this little passage of Scripture. But I do think when you look at the hands of Jesus and you see the nail prints, that you can't help but think it goes so much deeper than just nail prints. There is so much
to be told, to be said of the hands of Jesus. And to that, there is so much that I have available to me. Lord, help us to keep ourselves in a place where we can be affected and that we can be touched by the hands of Jesus. Y'all pray for me.